We have a special Sunday today. As you can see, this is not a sermon illustration thing happening right here. We're going to have a little bit of a panel discussion today, and there's a reasoning for that. So obviously, happy Mother's Day to you that are mothers in the room. And we're excited that we get to honor and serve you in some way, but there's many of us in the room that aren't. And many people approach this day with celebration. I woke up this morning, actually my daughter woke me up this morning at around 5:30, really excited to make breakfast for my wife, and then my daughter went and woke my wife up on Mother's Day. I think she would rather slept in. But we wanted to honor her today, and so we made her breakfast before coming in. And so this is a day of honoring those who are mothers, spiritual mothers, or maybe having a mother that you want to honor. But for many, this day really can be viewed as something of a strain day, or a day that they don't look forward to because it reminds them of something. And many of us in the spectrum in between, maybe it doesn't affect us right now. But the fact is, God has positioned male and female, and he's made them in his image for purpose and reasoning today. And really, if you read the gospel accounts, Jesus elevates the role of women within that society and culture, and he's still doing it today. And I believe wholeheartedly that we serve a God of story, and God gives us individual stories. And so we're going to have a panel teaching today from different women within our congregation that God has given unique stories, different experiences, different circumstances, but they're tethered to the same Christ. And so we're going to lean into that today. And so in this idea, I was like, what can I do in prepping for this? And I spoke with Adrienne Miller, who's going to be facilitating our conversation today. I said, how does this sound? I know sometimes I can get a little out there, but I was like, let's press into it, because we're better when we hear people's stories and what they can glean from what Christ has done in them and what the scriptures say for us. And so we're going to lean into that today. And so I'd love to invite, is that me? Okay, great. And so we're going to invite them up. And so while I do, I just want to set the scene for us. There's going to be three questions I'm going to be asking and of our time today. And even if this doesn't impact your life stage, there is something that God can do with it. So I'm asking you to lean in. I'm asking you to see what God wants to do through what is going to be spoken today. And I'm excited to introduce. I will walk very slowly. Nope, oh, here we go. All right, thank you, Kyle. But I want to introduce everyone who's on the panel here. This is Adrienne Miller. Adrienne serves faithfully on our worship team. She's a teacher and at heart and trade and gifted in that. And so her husband, Jeff Miller, is also one of our elders here. And so she'll see her faithfully serving the next generation as well. And so we're grateful for her to facilitate this time. Cynthia Pate is on your guys' left right there. And so she is a founding member of our church family here at University Boulevard. Her and her husband, Fred, have faithfully served. And she's a picture of faith. And I'm excited for you to hear a little bit of her story today as God has molded it. Here. And in the middle is Paula Evans. Some of you may know her, some of you don't, but we love her, her personality, her life. She has served faithfully as a teacher here at Grace for 23 years, now retired from that, but we're grateful for her, her husband Greg, and the kid, the now older kiddos that she has. And last but absolutely not least is Sandra Navis, and she is our missions operations director here, and God has gifted us with her as a part of our church family. So I wanted to take a moment and hear from them today and ask a few questions. And I'll start us off. Should I transition to this one? All right, Andrew's shaking his head. Here we go. All right, so I'll start us off with our first question. Pretty basic. And so how has God worked in your story as it relates to being a mother, having a mother, or being a spiritual mother? And what that means is that could be a good example, that could be a hard example, that can be maybe learning moments from your experience, but I would love for you to speak into that. And Adrienne, would you start us off?
Sure. So I'm Adrienne, and as he mentioned, this is my husband over here, a little eye candy, and our three sons. We have Jakin, who's 12, Joshua, who's 10, and Jet, who's almost 9. I grew up in a single-parent home, from the age of two on, my dad was not part of our lives. And so my mom certainly walked a very hard road and taught me what it looks like to be a strong woman and a strong mother. The only thing that was lacking in all that she blessed me with was just that spiritual element of how Christ works in and through you. And so in college, the Lord blessed me starting then and on with many women in my life who acted as spiritual mothers to me. And then I learned to just invest in others as well. And as a teacher, I treated all my students as though they were my own children, and just looking for those opportunities to mother others, knowing that we're all kind of in this together.
I'm Cynthia. I need a little help. I have a tremor, so I have this lovely assistant beside me. Fred and I have attended Grace Community for 47 years. We have two daughters and five grandchildren, all four and under. It's a wild and crazy house when everyone's there. But we walked the painful road of infertility for 9 years. We received our first daughter through the gift of adoption. And 18 months later, we received our second daughter through the gift of adoption. Everything seemed perfect, absolutely perfect. Then 6 weeks later, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. Suddenly, our perfect world was upside down. Fast forward 32 years, and I have five grandchildren sitting on my lap. So to say that I'm grateful is quite the understatement. My heart is filled with gratitude for what God has done for me. You probably will see me painting a rosier picture of parenting than most, simply because of the road I've traveled. Don't misunderstand me. We had some really tough days of parenting between strong-willed children, children who wanted to follow the crowd, children who questioned who God was, invaded my sleep, invaded my days. It probably has invaded many of yours out there too as you parent. I focus and I continue to focus on God's word. I have a collection of cards that have Bible verses on them, and they go with me when we take trips. They're always at my home, and I grab them and I look at those, and I am strengthened and encouraged by what they have to say. Psalm 46:10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." And that's the one that really applied to me through most of my life. At night, it seems that the evenings were long, and so I would place my Bible, my hand on my Bible, and I would fall asleep with my hand on my Bible. There's nothing, and I still do that from time to time. There's nothing magical about touching that, but it gives me a tactile reminder that God is fighting the battle and the enemy is fleeing.
I'm Paula Evans, and my husband Greg and I, we have two grown children and a grandson and two more on the way. You can't tell that I'm excited. I grew up in a wonderful home with two great parents. My mom was a hardworking woman, very determined. She loved to serve others, and she loved to be needed. And if you knew her, you loved her. My relationship with my mother was a bit more contentious than that she had with other people. I had an older sister who was pretty perfect, and so I tried probably pretty much not to be. And I was very successful in that endeavor, unfortunately. And so I think probably that caused a lot more friction between my mom and I. As when I became a mom, I wanted to be sure I did things differently because I didn't want my kids to feel about me the way I felt about my mom. And the more I grew into my own adulthood and the older that Drew and Haley got, the more firmly I stood in my stance with her, which caused us more frustration with one another. And I don't hide my feelings very well. And so I was very vocal with my attitude and my words with her, which wasn't always a very good thing to be. So when she passed away in January of 23, very suddenly, I grieved my mom, but I was so heartbroken over the relationship that I had with her and the one that I could never get back or fix. And so when I would get up every morning to have my time with God, I found myself not being able to pray or not being able to even open my Bible. It was the weirdest thing. I was frozen. I would just sit. And finally, one day, I thought, well, nothing's happening. I'm going to get up and I'm going to clean house. And there God met me with a can of Pledge in one hand and a rag in the other. And I realized in that moment why then that my mom loved me. Because no matter what Drew or Haley could ever do, I would never love them any less. My love for them would always remain strong. And then I went to Romans 10:22, where it says, God says, we draw near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience. And that's what I was dealing with, the guilty conscience for the role that I played in the relationship with my mother. And even though I could never fix it, God does. As Kyle prayed, he restores everything. He makes all things new. And so I know that I'm forgiven of my sins. I'm a child of God. He has washed me and cleansed me. But the guilt that I carry still stuck to me until I read that verse. And that was so liberating that I'm freed from my guilty conscience. I'm sprinkled with the blood of Jesus from all of it. And one day, that relationship will be restored, and I'm looking forward to that day.
My name is Sandra. I have two teenagers and one 20-year-old, kind of a teenager, still a teenager. I feel that they still babies sometimes. But anyways, pray for me. Don't pray for them. They'll get over it, and they'll make it. It's okay. But 10 years ago, my husband passed away of cancer. And in this season of the loss and the grief and raising three babies and losing everything from one Sunday to a Friday, everything was gone, especially him. It was a very tough season, of course, but I always, the scripture that always comes to my mind is, because I have set the Lord in front of me always, I would not be shaken. And I think that in this walk and in this last 10 years plus four of them, of him being sick, it's the reminder of Sandra, if you place me always before and always in front of you, although you're going through all this, you will not be shaken. The other day, I was talking to my oldest. He's in Italy. And I was just reminded about this. And I said, hey, Dan, you know, I need to ask you for forgiveness. I didn't do this and this and this. And I was just working and making it happen for all of us and all that. And I was expecting, oh, Mama, don't worry. You have been amazing. I love you. We did it. You know what he said? He said, like, yeah, that's fine. I forgive you. What? So I was like, okay. He forgives me. That's good. But one thing that he always reminds me is like, Mama, we have done everything because the Lord is in front of us. We have had nothing, but we still walk in faith because the Lord is in front of us, because he speaks, because he has given us instructions. And we have been walking by that faith of hearing him and just doing it. So in my ups and downs, in my lows and lows, my lows are lower than low. I mean, very low. The Lord has always been there. And I think that as a mom, this has been where I've seen the Lord the most.
Great. So as you can see, these ladies represent a cross-section of our body that the Lord has placed us in here at Grace Community. And I love how each of their stories, it acknowledges life is hard and life is broken, but Christ is our hero in the midst of it. He's who carries us. And so I appreciate each of their testimonies. One of the first provisions the Lord had for me as a young, out-of-the-house college student was I was 18 and I was floundering in my faith, and a 19-year-old named Kathleen, she said, "Well, who are you meeting with?" I was like tomorrow? What do you mean meeting with? And she said, "No, who's getting in the word with you?" I said, "No one." And she said, "Okay, we're going to start. We'll start every week and we're going to go through a Bible study together. And first thing I want you to do is memorize Proverbs 31. Okay. So I don't know if you've read that one lately, but it's kind of a high call for women in general, for a follower of Christ in general. It's a very high calling. And so I wanted to ask each of these ladies, what do you see in Proverbs 31 that you hope Christ is forming in you, or that you hope to continue to model as you grow in your faith?
Verse 25 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come." Another version says, "She smiles at the future." This verse speaks loudly to me. I really, really want to be strong and dignified, but I fail really on both counts. But I know that God, it's just a challenge to try and lean into Him every day and to be that way. But I know that God is always there, ready to help me travel that way. Sometimes I need a gentle push, just a gentle nudge, and sometimes I need a really strong push to lean toward strength and dignity. And I really, really like the part about smiling at the future or laughing at what's to come. In day-to-day life, I think that's really hard. I mean, it's real easy for me to look forward to heaven and getting a new body and everything being perfect. It's real easy for me to look forward to that, but sometimes it's not so easy to look forward to what's coming in the next few days. I really thought that by the time I was 69 years old that I would kind of have it all together and and have strength and dignity and all those things, but all I have discovered is that my shortcomings are much greater than I ever thought they were, and God's grace is much more magnificent than I ever thought it was. And He continues to lavish it on me all the time, and I want to grab it as much as I can.
Same verse for me. It's the verse 25 and 26. It says, she laughs at the time to come, but one of the applications for that word laugh is have no fear of. So for me, when I read Proverbs 31 and I see this, it's this knowing that although I have to trust and believe God for every single detail, for every single provision, for every single everything, I have no fear of. And even when I see my present situation, and there's no way. The other day, my son says, "Mama, do we have money for that?" And I said, "Oh, son, we never have money for that, but we have Jesus." Praise God for that, because He's seeing, listen, you might have all the money, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. And this mama is trusting the Lord even for that simple detail, because there's nothing and there's no way I can make it for you. So to have no fear of is total trust. And that is very hard. I feel you men in the house, because when you're married, you look at your husband and you go like, "Hey, we had to pay this. Hey, we have to do this." But when you are in the place that you are the provider, that you are the one responsible, that you are the one carrying that household, it's a heavy burden. And you guys don't say, this is Mother's Day, but I have to say this. You guys don't share that. And it's heavy, and it's strong, and it's hard. But you have no fear of, because you can laugh at the future, and you can laugh, and you can see it, and you go like, okay, I know who's in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For me, I would say, to answer this question too, I'm just going to skim read some of it, but it says, she works with her hands in delight. She's in merchant ships bringing food from afar. She rises while it's still night. She gives food to her household and her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and she's planting a vineyard. She girds herself with strength. Her lamp does not go out at night, so she doesn't. She rises also in the morning, but she doesn't go to bed at night. I'm not sure when she sleeps. And she not only is concerned for her own household, but she extends her hands to the poor. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the land. All these things, they add up to me to say this woman is not idle. Everything she does, she's intentional with. And for me, that's what I hope to do, is use every moment, every opportunity I'm given to be intentional with His word and with bringing others along in the faith. And so even before I was married, when I worked at a Christian camp in town, my goal was to inspire and teach the word of God to other women and to bring them along. And then as a teacher in the public education, even though the subject is science, I'm going to show you who created it and how wonderful He is. Like, I want to be intentional with every single moment. And now, as I said, the Lord has blessed us with three children, and we are their main disciples. It's to bring them in along in the word. And so I don't want to waste a single opportunity. As Esther was told by Mordecai in the book of Esther, like, you're here for such a time as this. And every one of you in this room has been placed in May 2024 for such a time as this. So what opportunity do you have, whether it's your own family or it's people in your life at work or people in your life where you play? There's intentional things with Christ that we need to be about. We need to be about His business.
It's beautiful. I think even in reading that from my perspective, all of that, Proverbs 31, is really just grounded in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is what produces those things. It's not necessarily those things just happen and you need to stare at those things. It's staring at Christ and allowing His transforming power through His Spirit to transform you as women, but also us as men in this room, whether we're married or not, into His image. And I think about not only the high call that is to women, but how the high call of Ephesians 5, husbands are to reflect Christ and His love for the church. And so this is a high bar for women, but it's because their fear of the Lord is what's going to produce these things. Maybe not all of this in one woman, but as a body of Christ, these aspects are seen within their lives, and also for us as men. These things are produced in us when we are biblical men living on mission for the gospel, laying down our lives for not only ourselves and our wives, but our brothers and sisters. And so we need to be about those things, not only as women in Proverbs 31, and although it's beautiful, but also as men, as the church, as one body in Christ. We need to be about those things. And so that is how this summarizes and hits us. It's Christ doing the work in us and through us. And thank you for sharing the aspects of where God is stirring and changing you, but also raising new things up in that. And so I'm mindful of time right now, so we have one other question for you, and it's this. If there is one encouragement you can make today to others who are maybe walking through different circumstances, be it infertility, family of origin issues. I don't know about you, but I have daddy issues and mommy issues, and so some of us are in that room that walk through those things. But also, you know, parenting or management of time in the space of life. But if there's one encouragement you could give, what would that be and why? So, Cynthia, why don't we start off with you?
I'd like to address those of you who desperately want to be parents, and that has not happened yet. It's a very hard season. I know you're really hurting. But I would like to encourage you to use your childlessness season to come alongside others, and maybe someone who's not quite as far as you in their faith. Invest in them. If you invest in them, you will grow, and you will grow a lot. Mm-hmm. Fred and I worked with youth when we were going through the hard season of infertility. And we grew in leaps and bounds because we were growing with them. I would encourage you to explore those ways and find them. Also, I think if you do that, you will grow. And you ought to look, and if you think others around you are hurting, if you're not in that position, if you think others around you are hurting, show them, offer them some Jesus by a smile, a pat on the back, a text, a phone call. I think people really want help, and if you're the person who needs help, you need to ask for it and accept it. That may be the hard part. Ask for it and accept it, because I think most people would like to know what to do.
I think I would say to continue to trust. There's a verse, and no, I can't remember where it is, but it's God's riches are great. His wisdom and knowledge have no end. No one can explain the things God decides or understand his ways. And when you're in the midst of the ick, you don't understand and you can't explain it, but just keep trusting. I said this earlier, sometimes trusting really, it kind of stinks. The process of it kind of stinks, but I have never, ever, ever been sorry that I trusted God. And so my encouragement would be to keep trusting.
For me, two things really quick. One, keep walking and finish the race. 2 Timothy says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Keep walking with your eyes closed, hearing what the Spirit of God is telling you to do or to be or to whatever. Faith comes by hearing. So when you hear his word and when you hear the Holy Spirit, faith will come to you. And the other thing is, it's okay for you to cry. It's okay for you to be depressed. It's okay for you to go through all this season. These are the moments where God really shows himself. And he goes like, let me love you and hug you and help you. But it's not okay to stay there. You have to overcome. You are an overcomer. You have to finish this race with strength and dignity. And I want to bless you with Isaiah 60 that says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God is upon you. Many times I go to my mirror and I have to go like, come on, girl, you can do this. Arise and shine. And I'm crying. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to get out of the house. I'm depressed. I'm going through. I feel like my whole world, I have no idea where my provision is going to come. But I stand there and I say, arise and shine. We can do this. Come on, we can do this. Yes, speak to that mountain. Speak to yourself and keep hearing the Spirit of God in your life.
I'm going to kick it back to you again. When we discussed earlier, one of the things Sandra said was, as a single parent, she had no choice but to trust Jesus. She had no other options. And I watched her watching her son lead worship. And so I just want you to speak to that for just a moment.
When there's nothing.
Yeah.
When there's no way. When there is no one. You have no option. You have to go back to Jesus. And I saw my son singing here that he has been faithful through generations. And I've seen that even with the prayers that his dad prayed before passing away, I've seen those prayers answer. And I've seen it. I've seen my children in generations and generations going through the darkest valley, the shadow of death, but rising up because there's nothing else. There's no way. And you just have Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget, you know, we might have friends and a spouse or whatever, but we ought to all be living like Jesus is the only option, you know, depending on him. And I see his faithfulness in what I got to see this morning of your son leading a song that he will not fail you. Fail us, fail all of us. And I just see that the Lord whatever obstacles we're going to walk through, he is not going to fail us. And so on a day of, I call it a Hallmark holiday, you know, Hallmark selling cards and flowers on a day like today, but probably 80 to 90% of us have something in our hearts today that makes today hard. It's not idyllic. It's difficult. Maybe you're a first-time mom and you're barely holding it together. I remember I didn't leave the house for 6 weeks because I didn't want anyone to know that I was failing at motherhood when I had my first child. This is a hard thing sometimes, but we don't do it alone. Sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent. My encouragement also would come even from 1 Peter 3, where it talks about a beautiful woman and that her adornment is not from what she wears. It comes from the gentle and quiet spirit. And I don't know if any of you ladies feel like you perfectly embody a gentle and quiet spirit. I, for the longest time, felt really bad about myself because I was raised to be strong and independent. And I thought, how can I be a Christ-following, gentle and quiet spirit and also be a strong woman? And I realized it's not talking about my personality. It's talking about my trust in who God is and that he will see me through the next moment. He will help me smile at the future. And so my encouragement for each of you is lean into who he is, because he will provide and he will take you through the next step.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Can we thank them for taking this time? Church, the reason why we do this, the reason why we teach from this perspective is really God has fashioned man and woman in his image, and he's called us to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and he's called us to do it not in our own strength, but in Christ's transformation in us. And I'm just grateful that for these women, for these stories, for what we get to walk through as one body in Christ, and that we get to celebrate a Savior that is alive, that is transforming these things in us. And I just want to say, just grateful for each of you and your willingness, or I put you in a chokehold to be here. No, I'm kidding. But thank you so much for your time. I'm just going to pray to close us, and then we'll stand and sing. God, we are grateful that you have chosen us. We're grateful that you've chosen us as a family, as men and women made in your image, and you've given us, breathed life into us, and you've created us from the dirt, and you've given us life, God. And though sin was introduced because we thought we could do it on our own, you sent your son Jesus to transform if we just believed and trusted in him. And God, we can be men today because only because of your grace. We can be women today only because of your grace. And I'm just grateful for the story that you don't call your body to do life in isolation, but you call us to one another, working the things that aren't of you out by your spirit, but also placing giftings in us and that complement each other beautifully. But God, help us not to do this on our own. Help us to lean in to the goodness of who you are and the firm foundation that only you provide. Everything in culture tells us to go our own way, be our own selves, but no, only you are the one that can clothe us in dignity. Only you are the one that we can cling to and know we don't have to fear tomorrow, because you perfectly have it. And transform us day by day into your image to reflect you to a lost and dying world so that they can see your goodness and see your grace today. And God, I pray today also for the women in here at all spectrums of life, that no matter where they find themselves, they can cling to the only hope that is true and sure, and that's you. I thank you for all these women here that are present today and share their stories. God, we are better because of it. And we're thankful for who you are. In Jesus' strong, mighty, and precious name, amen. Let's stand and sing, church.